eight region striped bass in Texas. Mr. Brian Van Zee, please. Brian.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm Brian Van Zee. I'm the Regional Director for the Inland Fisheries Division. I'd like to begin today by thanking you for this opportunity to come and give this presentation. What I'd like to do is give you a brief overview of our striped bass programs that we have. The objective of the striped bass program is to increase fishing recreation and harvest by providing a trophic predator capable of converting underutilized rough and forage fish biomass to a desirable sport fish biomass. Now, one of the main reasons why striped bass were brought into the state originally was because of the change in the aquatic environments that we've seen over the years. Historically, Texas had over 190,000 miles of rivers and streams that flowed unimpeded to the Gulf of Mexico. However, today there are more than 800 impoundments and few unregulated stretches of river. Now, the creation of all these reservoirs significantly increased the amount of water in the state, but in doing so, it created an artificial or man-made environment that really was not conducive to many of our native fishes. Therefore, we had to find a species that would not only perform well in the open water habitats found in these reservoirs, but that would also help control our forage fish population, as well as provide an additional angling opportunity and the potential for catching a trophy fish. Now, in 1954, striped bass were discovered by the South Carolina Game and Fish Farm to actually be able to survive in freshwater environments. As you know, striped bass are typically a saltwater species. This discovery sparked a lot of interest with striped bass by several game and fish farms in many of the southern states. In 1960, Texas first introduced striped bass into the Lake Diversion. However, that stocking was deemed unsuccessful because the population was never developed. Therefore, the first successful introduction actually occurred in 1967 in Lake Navarro Mills in Barlow. In 1972, following the heels of these successful introductions, the department developed a statewide program. And since that time, the program has grown and has met with great success. In 1973, the department became self-sufficient in terms of being able to produce its own hybrid striped bass and hybrid striped bass fry and fairings. Prior to 1973, we obtained all of our striped bass fry from other states. Today, we collect our adult striped bass from wild populations and spawn them in our hatcheries. Since about 1981, all of our striped bass, male and female, have basically come from the Lake Livingston tailrays. Prior to 1981, we traveled around the state to various lakes such as Eadie Spence, Toledo Bend, and even the Lake Texoma tailrays. However, we never had the kind of success at those locations that we have like below Livingston. Now, the success of our striped bass program is due in large part because of the great partnership that we have with the Trinity River Authority. Every year, they not only grant us access to the tailrays directly below Lake Livingston, but they assist us in our collections by clearing and leveling out an area along the shoreline to allow us a chance to set up our equipment. They use our caterpillars or loaded hatchery vehicles up from the shoreline, and they even regulate the discharges out of the dam to make the area more conducive to our sampling, but also make it safer for our staff. So they are a fantastic partnership, and we as the department and the anglers in Texas hold the Trinity River Authority a world of gratitude. Now, the number of striped bass we collect in any given year really depends on the size of the females that we collect. The larger the female, the more eggs they'll produce. But on average, we'll collect in the neighborhood roughly 200 adult striped bass, and that way we weigh upwards of 20 pounds each. We collect these fish by using our electric fishing boats, which quite simply stun the fish. The fish are dipped up and placed in live wells, after which time they're brought to the shoreline, where they're inspected to see how close they are to spawning. If they're relatively close, they'll be weighed and injected with a hormone, and then placed upon our hatchery trucks for transportation back to hatcheries where spawning will take place. Now, Texas has the proud distinction of having the largest striped bass and hybrid striped bass hatchery program in the nation. To date, our hatcheries have stocked over 162 million striped bass fry and fairlings, as well as an additional 100 million hybrid striped bass fry and fairlings. within any given year, our hatchery will produce roughly 5 million striped bass, fry, and cranelings for stocking into our reservoirs. Now, the cost of this production actually is pretty low compared to, say, production of our largemouth bass. The main reason for this is quite simply because we do not have to maintain our brood stock on our hatcheries year-round. Nash reproduction has been documented in the state. It occurs in the Red and Wichita Rivers above Lake Texoma, as well as in the Brazos River between Lake Cranberry and Whitney, and in the Trinity River below Lake Livingston. However, only Lake Texoma is the reproduction sufficient enough to actually maintain the fishery. In the other locations, the natural reproduction is very limited and very inconsistent, so therefore we maintain the rest of the state with the stockings. In any given year, we will stock and maintain roughly a dozen reservoirs with striped bass, as well as an additional 27 reservoirs with hybrid striped bass. The reason we don't stock more reservoirs than this is quite simply because our hatcheries are maxed out in terms of the number of fingerlings they can produce. Historically, we had stocked more reservoirs than this, but we found we really were not developing the quality fisheries that we were looking for. So therefore, we cut back on the number of lakes we stocked and increased our stocking fees. Today, striped bass and hybrid striped bass are a significant source of recreation for our anglers. In 2006, Dr. Bob Denton reported that over 100,000 Texas anglers preferred to fish for white bass, striped bass, and hybrid striped bass, collectively known as timber basses. Approximately 65% of the total fishing effort on Lake Texoma is directed strictly towards striped bass. And striped bass and hybrid striped bass fishing is important from an economic standpoint as well. For Lake Texoma, to give you an example, the striped bass fishery has an estimated $22 million economic impact for that region annually. And we have similar situations for other striped bass reservoirs where our fisheries are successful. Now, the current state record striped bass is 53 pounds, which was caught in 1999 from the Brazos River. And the current hybrid striped bass is currently roughly 20 pounds and is caught from Lake Ray Hubbard in 1984. In an effort to continue improving this program, we have several research projects that are underway. The first one is evaluating the reciprocal hybrid cross. Currently, we use what's called a Palmetto cross, which is a striped bass female crossed with a white bass male. This research project is evaluating the striped bass male crossed with a white bass, just to see how it performs in our reservoirs and our hatcheries as well. The next research project is evaluating the condition of the adult striped bass in Lake Buchanan. And the third research project is determining the post-stocking survival of striped bass in Lake Buchanan and Lake Livingston. Now, the final research project is evaluating the contribution of striped bass stocked in Lake Livingston proper to the tailrace population, as well as the extent of natural reproduction that's occurring in the Trinity River below Lake Livingston. Today, there are probably three major issues or challenges facing our striped bass program. The first one is trying to find an additional, reliable source of brood fish for spawning. As you recall, we currently collect all of our striped bass from the Lake Livingston tailrace for spawning. If anything were to ever happen to that fishery, it would be very difficult to maintain our program at its current level. We've begun to address this issue by developing the striped bass population in Lake Levan, where we believe we'll be able to collect striped bass from its tailrace, similar to what we do at Lake Livingston. The second challenge facing the program is the false perception that striped bass negatively impact other sport fishes. Now, this has been evaluated extensively in the past and quite simply not true, because the vast majority of the striped bass diet is comprised solely of gizzard shad and dredging shad. The third and probably the most significant challenge facing the program today is golden elga. Now, not only does golden elga caused substantial fish kills in several of our striped bass and hybrid striped bass reservoirs annually, but it also causes significant problems on our hatcheries where our striped bass and hybrid striped bass are produced. Now, our hatchery biologists and managers have done a fantastic job of figuring out ways to control golden elga within the hatchery setting, but today there is no methodology or technique for controlling it within a reservoir. Therefore, we rely heavily upon our hatcheries to produce the striped bass, fry, and cranelings to rebuild these fisheries as quick as possible. And you'll be hearing more about golden elga later today from Phil Rocher. I guess many, I'd just like to reiterate that this program has been very successful for us. It provides an additional angling opportunity for thousands of Texas anglers. And with that, I'll try to answer any questions you have.
Yeah,
why is the only self-sustained population of Lake Texoma? What are the dynamics there?
They require sufficient flows for to make keep the eggs. The eggs are buoyant when they're spawned, and you have to have sufficient stream flows and distance for those eggs to stay suspended in the water column before they settle out and get suffocated. And so that's why it's fairly limited where you see it. Plus, you know, you have to have the right conditions to install and everything. But and really, Texoma is the only location where we have any factory production. In fact, Lake Texoma is a fishery in which we've never had stock. It's something named by itself.
The new fish hatchery, now that going to walk me through that, does that help you expand your abilities then to stock other lakes and areas?
Yeah, absolutely should. Because what we'll be able to do is not only increase that production, we can increase production of other families and move to different hatcheries. Right now, you know, each hatchery is required to produce different species of framelings, and this will help ease that up. So.
Okay, wonderful. Ryan, thank you. Any other questions for Ryan? All right, thank you. I appreciate it.